today. Our name for God today is Jehovah Nissi. The Lord is my banner. You may turn your Bibles to Exodus 17. The names of God normally, you know, come out of a situation in life. Problems that people find themselves in that needed God's divine intervention. And so a name of God would be a sign. And God would use that problem to reveal himself. So the bad news today is life has problems. The good news today is God has a name for every problem. Whatever you are facing, there is a name for God that applies or applicable to that situation. You know, the people of God were discouraged in Exodus 17. You always know when you are discouraged. You always know when your faith in God has waned. The proof of that can be made clear by the amount of complaining that you do. It is normal, pretty much, to complain, but it is often an indication of a weaning away from the faith. God's people in Exodus 17 have been complaining because there was a lack of water in their area that they were in. And they complain for God. Were dry. And life does get a little dry sometimes, and you need some refreshing. So they just come out of this problem with the water, and then just as life there is another thing's waiting for you. After one situation is over, they just come out of this end of needing water, because God had provided the water. And no sooner than they come out of that situation, there's another situation that comes up. It's just like us at times. We pay one bill, then there's another one waiting for you. As soon as you think you've gotten over the hump, there's another hill waiting for you to climb. The new problem starts in Exodus 17 and verse 8. It says, "Then Amalek came and fought against Israel at Rephaim." Now, Rephaim is a rocky and dry place where water source is very low. God's people were weary, and wouldn't you know it, now they have a great to deal with, and here comes Amalek. Amalek has shown up, and Amalek wants to fight. Just when it looks like things have gotten better than some about the water, that has been taken care of, and now things are going downhill. And it looks like the Lord is not on our side. Well, they faced this attack. Amalek is from the line of Esau, so there were people who were connected to the Jews and coming through the line of Esau, but nevertheless, they were a problem. You know, sometimes the biggest problems come from your own family. They were being resisted by Amalek, and Amalek wants to fight. He wants to go to battle with the people of God. And that is the situation that they are finding themselves in. So Moses says to Joshua, because they had no other option, they have to go face this problem. You know, sometimes there are things you can't run from. And if you escape it, that's good. But there are some things that you just can't run from. They keep tracking you down. This is the situation that they are in now. So Moses, in verse 9 of Exodus 17, said to Joshua, "Choose men for us and go out, fight against Amalek. Tomorrow I will station myself on top of the hill." Verse 11. So it came about when Moses held his hands high up and that Israel prevailed. And when he let his hand down, Amalek prevailed. Moses says, I'm going on top of the hill with a staff in my hand. Now, you make a note of what he calls the staff. He says, I am going up on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand. He had a problem, and he says, I am going to the top of the hill, and I'm going to hold my staff up. He says that when he held the staff up, Israel prevailed. It says that when he let the staff down, and the enemy prevailed. Y'all can't miss this part. When he held the staff up, he was winning. And his people were winning. When he dropped the staff, he was losing. He told Joshua, you go in the field and fight. I'm going up to the mountain to make contact with God. Winning or losing was not determined by those doing the fighting. Who would win and who would lose would not be determined by what Joshua was doing on the ground. It was what Moses was doing on the hill. It says Moses held his staff up, Israel was prevailing or winning the fight. And when Moses took his hand down, Israel was losing the battle, the fight. It is only in understanding that you must bring the mountain and the valley together to experience victory. You have a responsibility to do all you can do, all that you should do, and all that you're supposed to do. But the best you can do, unless God support it, won't be enough to give you the victory. You cannot shift to God what belongs to you, but you also cannot bring to you what belongs to God. Both have to be connected. And if I'm fulfilling my responsibility, Joshua, you go fight. On the other hand, I'm making contact with heaven. If you are not making contact with heaven, all your fighting is wasted energy. But if you are making contact with heaven, and God is not getting to you because you won't take responsibility, then you're not being obedient to what God can use. So it takes both in order for you to see what God is up to and what God can do. Don't say, I'm trusting God for a job, and you're not going out looking for one. But don't go looking for one and think that God has nothing to do with it. You need heaven to visit earth. There must always be the connection to what God does on the mountain and what I am responsible for in the valley. You never excuse irresponsibility in the name of God, but you never make responsibility sufficient to see all that God wants to do in the midst of your battles. Now, in light of that, he goes up and he begins his process of spiritual working. His spiritual working, which with the physical in order to bring about victory. Here is the problem. In verse 12, but Moses' hands were heavy. In other words, he was getting tired. And as he got tired because the fight was so long, his hands began to drop. You all have ever experienced a little battle and got tired because the situation was taking too long. The only problem was when he got tired of the spiritual. Remember, Moses is on the mountaintop, on the hill, with his hands, with the rod in his hand, holding up to God. And when you get tired of the spiritual, because it was the staff of God holding up toward heaven, signifying my dependence on the Lord for victory, that was what the staff was. God, I am looking toward you for victory, but my arms are getting heavy. I'm getting tired of the spiritual. The problem was when his arms got heavy, his situation got worse. Because when his arms came down, Amalek prevailed. Amalek is any force of evil that seeks to keep you from achieving the purposes of God. So we all have little Amaleks in our life. So the heavier the spiritual became, the more he began to lose in the earthly situation that he was battling. His arms got heavy. So what did he do? In verse 12, it says, they took a stone and put it under him. And he sat on it, and Aaron and Ur supported his hands, one on one side and one on the other side. Thus his hands were steady until sunset. Now he had two brothers with him, one named Aaron and one named Ur, and their only job that they had to perform was to hold his arms up. Their job was not to allow the heaviness of the spiritual making contact with God go down, because they knew that if he lost sight of his spiritual due to the heaviness of his arms, the situation was not going to get any better by getting rid of the spiritual. Now Israel would prevail. The dependence on God would have to be held up. But sometimes in life you can get weighed down. That is why the Lord wants every Christian to be a part of a local church. The reason why God wants you to become a part of a local body is so that when you are connected to an Aaron and an Ur, that's why you have to be connected to a local church. Some people will hold your hands up when stuff gets heavy. Everybody needs an Aaron and a Ur, that is people around you who will keep your spirit focused, God-centered, and not let you lose sight of heaven while you are fighting on earth. They held his hands up. Who is holding up your hands? Who get tired of the same problems every day, day in and day out? The same old mess. And I'm tired. Is the Lord with us or not? He always was asking for someone to hold his hands up because he was tired. The good thing about it is he left smiling when he came in frowning. When you go to church and someone holds your hand up, you come in hopeless, but you leave hopeful. The problem wasn't gone, but his hands were up. Because when you lose contact with the spiritual, you begin to get defeated in the physical. When you maintain contact with the spiritual, you prevail. And so they held his hands up. They would not let his hands go down. Amalek are those forces that will hinder you, sway you, those things that will limit you. It represented divine authority, divine activity. It represented the spiritual. Why make contact with God? Because Amalek was not simply the people. It was the devil working through the people. Your problem is not just your problem. The reason you need the spiritual to make contact with heaven is because you are not able to handle the devil that's driving the people. There are satanic influences behind it. On the ground, all you can do is fight. Amalek. But on the mountain, you are dealing with the evil of Amalek. And only God can deal with it. So the rod represented God's power and God's presence. The guys on the ground are doing the best they can. They are so caught up with the fighting, they are not aware they're winning or losing. Joshua went on the ground. Moses went on the hill with support. And in verse 13 it says, so Joshua overwhelmed Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. In other words, they won. Verse 14, then the Lord said to Moses, write this in a book as a memorial and recite it to Joshua. Put it on record. And the record I am giving you today is when you are fighting your battles, whenever battles are that you are fighting, or whatever battles that you're fighting, you can do two things, not one. First of all, you give your best in the valley while holding up the staff on the hill. And you get all the help you need to keep your hands high as you wait to overwhelm that which is right now overwhelming you. You may be under the circumstances. There's no guarantee that there will be no Amaleks. I cannot guarantee the Amalek don't have to take control of you. But you got to be on that mountain. There must be that spiritual presence, the spiritual commitment. And so he says to write it in a book, that I will block out the memory of Amalek from under heaven. God wants to get rid of all of Amalek, not part of Amalek. You see, the reason why some are losing and it's because we still want to play around with Amalek. You want to get rid of only half of Amalek. God says, I want to knock out Amalek. I want to fully deal with the evil associated with the situation. He wanted to block out Amalek because he knew that if he didn't, it would come back to haunt you again. And you don't have to turn that, but in 1 Samuel 15, God tells Saul to get rid of Amalek. And get rid of all of Amalek. He got rid of most of Amalek, but keep a few around for trophies. So what did you do with Amalek? God says to get rid of them all. And then he went to church. It says that Saul got rid of part of them and went to church. He said, he went to sacrifice and worship God. God looked at what he did. I got rid of most of Amalek. Look at me. I'm trying to do what you told me to do. I got rid of most of them. So what God did, God sent Samuel to Saul. And Samuel said that you are no longer the king, for you did not listen and obey the voice of the Lord your God. And then he gives us that famous verse which says, obedience is better than sacrifice. I said to get rid of them all. You kept a few around for whatever reason, for trophies or bragging rights or whatever. The man who killed Saul was from Amalek because he did not follow God. His murderer, or the one who assisted him in his suicide, was from Amalek. When God says to get rid of all, he means get rid of all. He is not trying to be mean. He knows that that Amalek was going to come back with a vengeance. God wanted to block him completely out. He wanted to remove them completely. Moses built an altar and named it Jehovah Nissi. That is to say, the Lord is my banner. Now, what made the Lord his banner? The Lord has sworn the Lord will never will war against Amalek from generation to generation. Whenever Amalek shows up, God is going to show up. And whenever Amalek mess with you, he has to deal with me because I am your banner. He said that from generation to generation, he is going to protect you from Amalek. What is your banner and my banner today? What are we supposed to hold up? There must be a standard in which we operate, and that brings in Jesus Christ. In Numbers 21, the people rebelled against God. And when they rebelled against God, snakes come out that are poison and bit them. In other words, there are consequences for your rebellion. Poisonous snakes, and of course, snakes represent evil in the Bible. Remember, that was a snake in the garden of Adam and Eve. God says, here's what I want you to do, Moses. I want you to put a snake on a stick. And he says, get a pole, elevate it, put a serpent on it, and elevate it high. You tell all of Israel, If they come look upon the serpent, they will live. And everybody that looked at that serpent lived. Everybody still looking for a doctor died. The New Testament in John 3 uses that very same illustration pointing to Jesus. It says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And everybody who looks toward him will live. And everybody who doesn't will surely die. Then he comes in John 12, verses 31 to 33. He said, and if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men to myself. He says, I am going to be the standard. If I'm lifted up, when you point toward me, I will be your victory. Because a banner was a standard that declared victory. You all remember, I think, before I remembered this movie that came on TV, it used to come on every day. I don't know if it's still come on, and I haven't seen it in the last couple of years. Dorothy, the Wizard of Oz. Now, Dorothy and Toto, she wound up in another world, another environment. This girl wanted to be in Kansas, but all of a sudden, this whirlwind ticks up, and puts in and drops in another place. And she is lost. She didn't know which way to go. Then there's a witch that tells her to follow the yellow brick road. And all you have to do is follow the yellow brick road, because at the end of the yellow brick road, there's a city called Oz. And when you get there, there's a guide there who will show you which way to go. So she starts walking down the yellow brick road, picks up a few friends along the way, because she wants to go back home to Kansas. She is serious about going back. She really wanted to go back home to Kansas, to her peaceful environment where she was raised. She finally gets to Oz and gets to the wizard, and she says, I came here because I want to go back home to Kansas. And at the end of the movie, the wizard says, you could have gone back to Kansas anytime you wanted to. From the time you were in this mess, you could have gone back to Kansas, because all this stuff is all up in your head. And your head was not straight. All you had to do was click three times. Click, click, click. And you go back to Kansas. Victory was right there in front of her. Victory was right there all the time. Because all you got to do is click your heels three times. Simple click, click, click. And you will go back to Kansas. And when she clicked three times, all of a sudden she woke up. She was back home in Kansas again. God is saying, I know you have tried this and tried that and trying the other. But if you would ever visit Jesus Christ, you go click, 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 Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you'll be amazed how he can flip, twist, turn, and give it you the victory over whatever Amalek is in your life. What God is simply saying to you, you can't go on your own to fight any battles. I don't care what the problem is. You have to go to God first. You have to bring heaven down to earth where your situation is. And when you do that, you can't go wrong. You said, God said, I will take care of the Amalek, that's whatever situation is causing the problems in your life. God is going to take care of that. Because we should have knocked them out if we had done what God had told us to do back in Saul's day, we wouldn't have been fighting Amalek now. But since Saul decided to keep some trophies, he decided to keep some for himself to show off to, I guess, the people what he had done, God says, from this point, from generation to generation, whatever Amalek shows up in your life, I will take care of it. So if we take anything from this today, just remember, Jehovah Nisi actually is God, is our banner of victory. And we need to stay in contact with God in whatever situation we find ourselves in. Heavenly Father, right now we just thank you, Lord, for